it. Bye-bye.
This is your Orioles Radio Network Game Rewind.
Well, now we're back in Kansas City, where last night the Orioles got some pretty good pitching out of Dylan Bundy, but at the same time, they ran into some pretty good pitching, and as a result, tonight the Orioles will try and avoid what would be their third consecutive defeat. The skipper, Buck Showalter, right after this.
Again, back in Kansas City with skipper Buck Showalter. This is the manager's report. Buck, about that ball game last night, just a couple of things. The pitching in that game was awfully good last night.
Yeah, we knew Duffy was going to be a challenge, Joe. He's pitched well against us, and very quietly, one of the better pitchers in this league. People that may not know about him, he can pitch with his fastball. And as soon as we squared up a couple of those, he really went to a lot of off-speed pitches against us, which most pitchers do. But Dylan was right there with him. Dylan pitched, I thought, as well as he did.
Is that another sign of Dylan Bundy's maturation process? Because he said after the game last night, he didn't have much of a breaking ball. And yet, he gives up only two runs and gives you a really good chance to win that game.
Yeah, he was talking about his curveball. He just didn't have command of it. Right. But he had the changeup and fastball he could locate. And he threw some of the cutter/sliders there, too, as he wanted to present the lineup a different look the second and third time around. But Dylan gave us a good chance to win. And we just didn't hit. You know, really, other than the wild pitch, we scored one run last night.
Yeah. Hey, Bundy, I think right now Buck is on pace for something like 220 innings in the regular season. Last year, 109 innings. Could that be a concern at all, maybe later in the season?
For who? I mean, concern, first of all, there's no medical evidence. Doctors, believe me, I've researched that. We researched this to back up any of this inning increment stuff out there. Mm-hmm. And talking to a number of different people about it. You know, we hope that we have that decision to make, because that means he's pitching in October. But it's something we've monitored last year. We've monitored in the spring. He had an extra day last time out. He'll get an extra day next time out. Trust me, we'll monitor that. But if someone's going to put an artificial pitch count or inning count to dictate someone's health of the arm, that's just not realistic, and it's a wrong way to look at it.
Well, it was real good after the game last night. Bundy said he felt like he's getting stronger.
Well, I mean, it's just, you know, it's like you go to the doctor and says, does it hurt when I do that? No. Does it hurt when I do that? Does it hurt when I do that? About the fourth time, you go, well, I guess it's supposed to hurt. You know, mentally, you can get into that, you know, and it's, you know, our mind, you know, can really play on you. So Dylan's the other way. He's looking for ways to get better, and he's not going to look at excuses, these artificial things that, you know, people want to inject themselves in the game, think they can quantify when a guy's going to get hurt and when he doesn't. I mean, heck, you can get hurt walking out of the ballpark. I know the Nationals were concerned about getting hurt the other night on a wet field. Heck, we play on those type of fields every night, Joe.
Again, with skipper Buck Showalter, as we continue with the manager's report, Caleb Joseph, 9 hits his last 16 at-bats, getting it done offensively. Is he hitting more now, maybe because he's playing more?
No, he played a lot last year and didn't do as well. You know, all these people that want to throw Caleb under the bus about offense and making jokes, he's got a great track record of doing things well offensively and getting some big hits. And if he was that type of guy, he'd be saying, I told you so. But he's not. And he's looking forward to Wellington getting back because he knows that he can help us win games. But, you know, we're fortunate to have a guy like Caleb and step in there. And there's probably nobody in the league that calls a better game than he does.
Let me ask you about Wellington. You brought him up Tuesday in Detroit. Does that still look pretty good?
I hope so. He's going to DH in both games of doubleheader day. He threw to bases day and felt great. So the only thing missing is getting these at-bats in tonight and getting a game under his belt, catching tomorrow, and then head towards Detroit. So fingers crossed.
All right. About the game tonight, Tillman, his second start. Nate Karns for Kansas City, his last game, 10 strikeouts against Tampa Bay. What can you tell us about him?
Well, he's the type of guy that you're doing him a favor by running a bunch of left-hand hitters out there. He's a reverse split guy. He actually has more trouble with right-hand hitters and left-hand hitters. And he's a guy that, you know, there's some reasons for that I'm not going to get into. Cause, you know, right now, you never know who's listening. But he's very quietly been pretty effective for them and very competitive, very athletic.
A lot of talk early this season about the Orioles' five-man bullpen. But how does a member of that bullpen feel about that? Well, Mike Bordick found out. He will visit with Darren O'Day when we continue with our warm-up show right after this. Now, we're back in Kansas City. About the Oriole five-man bullpen, I mean, right now it's a bit of a curse because it seems like every day Buck Showalter, you know, there's one or two guys in the bullpen that he wants to stay away from. We saw that again here in Kansas City last night. In a moment, Mike Bordick will explore that question when we continue with the warm-up show. Mike Bordick and Darren O'Day when we continue on the Orioles Radio Network.
Visiting with the most tenured Oriole in the bullpen, the captain of this magnificent bullpen, Darren O'Day. Darren, how you doing today?
I'm doing great, Mike. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, and happy Mother's Day weekend.
Yeah, it's a special day for all those mothers out there.
You got that right. Hey, a couple questions. Now, the Orioles bullpen has been probably their strength over the last 5 or 6 years, I would say, and you obviously have been a huge cog in that success. This year, I'm not going to say unstable, but there have been some key injuries, obviously, Zach Britton going down, and there's been some movement out in the bullpen. How's it going with the six-man pen?
It's going. It's kind of a different setup than we've had in recent years. Having that extra bench player for some flexibility. And it has played a vital role in some of the games, just having an extra guy, late inning defender or something, can steal a base. It is important. But we kind of have to be on point down there for a six-man pen. It's tough having Zach, not be there. He kind of, the way the bullpen sets up with him there, it makes it a little bit easier to have three late inning righties. And then, but you know what? Injuries happen. It's part of baseball. So we just have to do what we can. I will say National League would be tough with a six-man pen, just the way the nature of that game. As long as our starters keep going 6-7 innings every night, then we can manage a six-man pen. It's just kind of, you're just dancing around the fire there.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, with that, obviously, comes a lot of success, and baseball is built around failure. And I wanted to really talk to you about different techniques of how you stay strong both physically and mentally throughout the course of a long season and controlling the ups and downs. Understanding that, baseball players have routines. Talk a little bit about your strength training routine, first of all.
Yeah. It's kind of periodized. So I say that it depends on where you're at in the season. During the off season, we lift heavy. You've been in a few of the lifts that we do in the off season. Yeah, we lift really heavy, get after it. That's where you build your strength, is in the off season, which usually starts just a few weeks after last season ends. So, and it goes all the way through spring training. You can lift a little heavier because you know when you're going to pitch. For a reliever, once you get into the season, it's a little bit more of a challenge. You still lift, but it's mostly based around off days and usage. So if I throw 3 days in a row or 4 days in a row, then I've got a pretty good idea. I might have that day off, so I might get my lift in pregame. But most times, it's really just waiting for like a Sunday. We know we have an off day or a Sunday day game. I have a little extra time to recover. We'll get in there, and you'll be lifting. You look around, the whole bullpen's there lifting, just because that's the one time available. So it's kind of, and then as the season progresses, you cut down a little bit on your volume and your weight. Just try and, whoever thought 162 games was a good idea for a pitching shoulder or a pitching elbow, I'd like to talk to them. So, you kind of have to be smart about the work you do and saving some energy for the games to make it through, hopefully, into November.
Okay, so you build the strength with your body. And, of course, I think, and I'm sure you'll agree, baseball at the major league level is mostly mental. How do you stay mentally strong, and are there techniques to stay sharp?
Absolutely. I noticed it in my time coming through the minor leagues, and especially when I got to the big leagues, is that you see guys that are more talented, but they just are missing a little something to be able to let that talent come through when they're anxious or nervous. I didn't come into the major leagues with the ability to just stay calm when I pitched. For me, there were a few different events that transpired that just kind of helped me just say, let all that go. And just kind of pitch to see if you belong in the major leagues. And as I got older, about a year into my career, I started doing some visualization stuff where before the game, I would visualize the hardest pitches I was going to have to throw. I'd pick one of their right-handed batters out and visualize in my head, quietly how I was going to throw the pitches to him and kind of see positive results happening on those pitches. And then I would pick out a left-handed batter and do the same. So that when I got on the mound and I had, bases loaded or whatever, eighth inning, and I kind of in my mind, I'd already thrown those pitches. and you know, some of the guys say I'm in a game, and I have to throw, you know, a decision pitch, full count pitch or something, I'll take a second when I'm out there on the mound and visualize a good thing happening, because it's very easy to let the negative results, the bad things creep into your mind when you're out there and it's a tight situation.
So when you visualize, is it more a just, are there words, a word or two that kind of gets you into that position? Is it a casual kind of visualization, or is it really an art to it?
Well, sometimes there's some four-letter words involved. For me, it's like a movie that plays in my head. That's what I see. It's not like, I think if you're thinking too much when you're pitching or golfing or doing anything that requires pretty good mechanics, you're going to hamper yourself. So it's really that when I'm pitching my best is when I'm thinking the least. I'm seeing good things happening, and like I said, it's a movie playing in my head where it's always in slow-mo. It's never full speed, and it's, you know, somebody rolling over a sinker, down and away sinker, rolling over, double play, innings over, you know. So I will talk to myself once in a while. Usually that's more when I'm angry at myself. But that's another learned behavior, too, is to let those bad at-bats or those bad pitches go. You still might be able to, you know, salvage a situation. I've had a couple times in the past few years where I've loaded the bases with no outs. And somehow, whether it be the lineup presents itself, a strikeout happens, or double play, I've been managed to get out of it just because I know that I haven't crossed that bridge yet. You know, the inning's not over, so just to keep taking it one pitch at a time and see if some good things can happen.
I'll tell you what, there are keys to success. Darren O'Day takes care of his body, works out all season long, and mentally as strong a pitcher as I have seen. Seen him get himself out of some of the toughest jams that baseball has to offer. There you have it, some great tips from one of the best arms in the American League, Darren O'Day. Thanks, Darren.
Sure thing, Mike. Thanks for having me.
And hello again, baseball fans. Joe Angel with Mike Bordick back in Kansas City in the loss column again. Yep, first time this season, Orioles have suffered through a three-game losing streak. And with Mike Bordick, Chris Tillman tonight, his second start in this young season. He goes 4 2/3 innings, gives up 3 runs. He allows 8 hits and a couple of walks. He had 4 strikeouts. But the big number is 105 pitches in just 4 2/3 innings.
Yeah, a lot of 3-2 counts throughout this ball game. Fastball velocity still hasn't gotten up there, and he was going with secondary pitches the whole way through. He doesn't have command with that. Then you're going to have the big counts, the big pitch count, and sure enough, an early exit for Tillman.
Eventually, Asher came on in relief. Tillman would get a no decision. Asher, Bordia, again, looks like he knows how to pitch. He's got good enough stuff. He gets people out, but it seems like he makes the mistake at the wrong time.
Yeah, you know, when you don't hold the big velocity, your margin for error is much smaller. So mistakes on the plate get hit hard. And just recently, you know, a couple home runs on a couple mistakes, and it really cost the Orioles.
And he winds up being the losing pitcher here tonight. But the Orioles, offensively, last night, they didn't do much, and they lose by one run. Tonight, they hit 3 bases empty home runs, but that's all they got.
Yeah, you know, the offense kind of sputtering a little bit. A big strikeout game, 15 punchouts for the Orioles, not giving themselves many opportunities. It'd be nice if they just started grinding out some at-bats, limited the strikeouts, and see what they can do when they can put some guys on base. Maybe instead of those solo shots, a 2 or 3-run homer.
Hey, Kevin Gausman's got to step up tomorrow, huh?
Boy, he sure does. You know, Kevin's looked much better here recently, so I think he's going to have a big game. I think the Orioles need a big win, and he's in line to step up.
We'll come back with the highlights as we continue from Kansas City on the Orioles Radio Network. Now we're back in Kansas City, and hello again, baseball fans. Here, Joe Angel, another notch in the loss column tonight. Orioles with their third consecutive loss as they lose this one by a score of 4-3. Now, Chris Tillman tonight, first inning, faced only 3 batters thanks to a double play ball. But then nothing-nothing game, bottom of the second inning. Hosmer, a leadoff double, so he was out there at second base for the catcher, Salvador Perez. There's a line drive, one hop, and Machado dive, cannot make the play. Hosmer on third, being waved in, he will score the ball back into second base. 1-0, Kansas City. So Perez, his 21st RBI. Meanwhile, Nathan Carnes, the Kansas City right-hander, was mowing him down, had a couple of strikeouts in the first, and then three strikeouts in the second inning. Then in the third, he had the 1-0 lead. He struck out J.J. Hardy. But then Francisco Peña, he got a chance to catch tonight, and he caught with his bat a couple of balls. Peña hits it to deep left field. This ball is hit a long way. Backing up is Bonifacio. Hasta la vista, pelota! Francisco Peña has tied the game with a long home run. Indeed. 1-1 game. Then, eventually, in the fifth inning, the Orioles would score a run. And again, came with the bases empty after a couple of strikeouts. Mancini went down on strikes. Hardy went down on strikes. And again, Peña came up to hit. And now, Peña hits it to deep left field. Did he do it again? Yes, he did. Francisco Peña has had a two-home run night. Both solos. Yeah. So, Peña had gone deep. But at the same time, Nathan Carnes was mowing him down. He had the two strikeouts in the fifth. And then after giving up two more singles after the Peña home run, he struck out. Well, Machado came up to hit. And as it turned out, for Carnes, that was his last batter. 0-2. And the pitch. Swing and a miss. The ball that was in the dirt. Well, he didn't shorten up.
No, he sure did. Another breaking ball from Carnes. And just didn't see the baseball. Just swung right through. Ball bounced about 2 feet in front of home plate.
Carnes, 12 strikeouts in 5 innings. But he's given up a couple of solos. Pretty amazing. Then came the bottom of the fifth inning when the Royals came all the way back and to take the lead for good, as it turned out, against Tillman, who began the inning. Single by Escobar. Then Moustakas got a base hit. Then it was a wild pitch to put runners on second and third. And then Lorenzo Cain came up to hit. Fly ball out toward right center. Smith is on the run. He's going to get to it. He's going to catch it. Escobar will score. The throw back in, and Moustakas holds it second. It's a 2-2 game. But then Hosmer got a base on balls. Exit Tillman. Enter Alec Asher, who then hit Salvador Perez, and that's when Bonifacio came up to hit. Breaking ball, hit to deep left, but not deep enough. Will drive in a run, though. Mancini is there to make the catch. Here's Moustakas, he will tag, and he will score the ball back into third. For the Royals, on a couple of sack flies, they've taken the lead in the fifth inning. It is now 3-2. So Tillman giving up 3 runs on 8 hits in 4 2/3 innings. So a 1-run game. Sixth inning, the big fella, Chris Davis, came up the leadoff hitter in the sixth. Davis sends it airborne toward left. Way back is Bonifacio near the wall. He's going to jump up, and that ball is gone. A home run into the Kansas City bullpen. That ball barely got out, but it did. The big fella has struck in Kansas City. Yep, his fifth home run. But then in the bottom of the sixth inning, Asher, the pitcher, Brandon Moss, the leadoff hitter. Asher, right now the pitcher of record. He delivers to Moss, who hits it to deep right field. Back in the corner, it is gone, a home run. Brandon Moss has homered for the second time in the series. Kansas City ahead 4-3. And that's how they won the game. After that, the Kansas City bullpen was lights out. As Mike Minor, the left-hander, got him 1-2-3 in the seventh, and he got him 1-2-3 in the eighth. And eventually the closer, Kelvin Herrera, came out of the bullpen, and he got him 1-2-3 in the ninth. Here's the 0-1 delivery. Hardy loops it out towards second base. Merrifield is right there to make the catch on the edge of the outfield race. And the Orioles here tonight, their first 3-game losing streak of the season. They go 1-2-3 in the ninth, in the loss column in Kansas City. And they lose their third consecutive one-run decision. Yep, tough night in Kansas City. The game ends. 10 consecutive Orioles were retired, and 11 of the last 12 were retired by the Kansas City bullpen. So they did go down quietly tonight. The post-game show brought to you by Browns Honda City. Buy happy with Browns. We'll come back in a moment on the Orioles Radio Network. Tough loss. They lose tonight, Kansas City, lose it 4-3. And after the game, Buck Showalter on Masson.
Buck, second start for Chris Tillman. What did you see?
Capable of better. It was a struggle for him. And kept the game engaged, and it was a testament to his ability to grind to keep us engaged there. But he threw a lot of pitches. They made him work. They really made him work, and much like Dylan last night. But he's capable of better. It'll get better.
Now, with a start like this, as you say, he kept you engaged, and despite not having his good stuff, he still gave you the game and gave you a chance to be in it.
Yeah, that's what I said, and I think that you know, as we go forward, you know, we're looking forward to him kind of finding a step. He's still not quite there with the crispness of his pitches, but ability to command a changeup. You know, once again tonight, the score, you know, it's 13, 14 strikeouts mm-hmm. and three home runs. You know, we're just not scoring any runs, and you could look back on that a lot different if we put up a five spot somewhere.
Is Nate Karns, that swing and miss curveball, is that as good of a curveball as you've seen this year?
No, we've seen him as good, if not better, but that's why he's in the big league. He's got a good secondary pitch and, you know, didn't make many mistakes. But we, you know, just, you know, you got a 6-15 game. You could tell the first three or four innings nobody could see, including, you know, hitters, umpires. It's just a guessing game. But, you know, we're playing under the same conditions.
Pretty impressive night by the catcher, Francisco Pena.
Yeah, I was happy for Frankie. He got a hanging breaking ball and ambushed a fastball. He knew they weren't going to throw it to him again the next time up. But Frankie's got that type of pop. He can turn around just about anybody's fastball. But he's done well for us.
All right, but appreciate the visit.
Okay, thank you.